Greg, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve.
Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the commercial real estate market. The last time you were in, we saw some data that suggested a little weakness in the market. Does that still exist?
Yeah, we're, last time we talked, it was, there's been some softness in the market. Vacancy is starting to creep up a little bit. Rates are expected to soften a little bit just because there's a fair amount of product coming online, and a lot of tenants are starting to, renew, move, and take less space than what they currently have.
I still look at the skyline and see all the buildings going up and the new construction around the area. Those are going to be nice, shiny, new, lots of them offices. Are we going to have people to put in them?
That's a great question. These new office buildings, and we're involved with a few of them, are very well designed. They have robust IT layout in them, and they're very efficient. And so tenants are very interested in making the moves to these buildings, and a lot of them are located, in the West Loop near transportation, near the train station. So that's a big positive. But what we're seeing is that as new tenants move into these buildings, because they're so efficient, and a lot of these companies are moving, leveraging the technology that's come to play in their businesses, that they're actually taking a lot less space. So I think that's part of the driver in vacancy starting to take off, because you have tenants moving, say, from 500,000 square feet in the Central Loop into one of these new buildings at 300,000 square feet. So it looks good on the surface, but your net absorption is actually a negative 200,000 in that example.
One of the industries that's sort of peeling back is the legal industry, the law firms that are kind of cutting back on the amount of space that they have. How big of an impact in the Chicago market is that having on space?
I think it's having a pretty significant impact. In fact, I think over the next 5 years, it'll be even more significant, because a lot of those law firms, their leases, looking at a recent CBRE study, show that over 5 million square feet is going to be expiring or maturing with large law firms in Chicago. And like most big cities, the big law firms tend to be in these Class A office buildings, and historically have been big users. But like everybody else, their business is changing largely due to technology.
Part of the technology, and we've reported here on the Opening Bell before, artificial intelligence is taking over some of the work, where you have machines that read all of these files that law firms don't have to. I think the report you mentioned earlier, this CBRE report, had a couple of local examples. One law firm cut its space by 42%, another by 37%. So that's pretty big.
Yeah, and some of those law firms are moving from buildings in the Central Loop into some of those West Loop buildings that we were talking about. And if you think about, the law firms and how their business has changed, law libraries, it's all digital.
Yeah.
Don't need it anymore. All the filing space that those places used to need, and people to sit at desks and actually do the filing, all digital, all online. Where the people are located, a lot of the large law firms are offshoring the paralegals or embracing telecommuting. So if you add it all up, in the meeting space, we know a lot of law firms over the years where they'd have full floors of just meeting space. It's all going to Skype, teleconference. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets together anymore. So you put all that together, and all of a sudden these huge blocks of space that the law firms used to require is now significantly lower.
What are some of the other industries, if you had to rank them in Chicago, that take up the office space besides the law industry?
Boy, that's a good question. My answer might have been different a couple of years ago, but one of the big things that we've seen is in kind of an equalizer, is that there's a lot of large corporations that are moving downtown. So a lot of the suburban players that used to, have large complexes out in the burbs are now moving downtown to be by the talent. So that mix is a little different. You see more Fortune 500 companies. I'm trying to think of who some of the recent big users are, but they're usually financial, I would say, would be the next big ones. You know, there's a new tower being slated to be built on Wacker at the GGP site, and that's going to be anchored by 500,000 square feet of Bank of America. So those are the big ones, not just the banks, but just the financial services area.
You mentioned the telecommunicating aspect of this. I saw a report, and I know we talked about this before, about companies, big companies, now pulling back the reins on telecommuting, having their people come into work now. Do you think that will maybe turn the tide a little bit on this?
No, I don't know if it will or not. I've read some recent studies on that as well, where some companies are starting to feel like it's hurting the engagement, that there's too many employees that are out and that you lose too much. And so there is this shift in some industries to pull back that telecommuting and bring people back into the office more frequently or permanently.
Trust is another. I think I saw the same story you did, where companies too are not really trusting their employees that they're really doing the work at home.
Well, it's a lot harder to gauge, you know, when people are actually working versus when they come in at, you know, 8 to 5.
Yeah. Let's talk about another story that's in the news that I thought was pretty interesting. As we see retail places shut down, there was an interesting court fight involving, I think, Starbucks and maybe Whole Foods, where they wanted to close stores, shut down retail locations, and the landlord of the company that was renting to them said, hey, wait, no, you have a clause in your contract that says you have to keep this open and operating. And they've lost that court case.
They did. That was a fascinating and unique situation, because, you know, what's really happening in the retail space right now, and it happens continuously, is there's always retail concepts that don't work. They fall on financial hard times. They don't have the cash flow or liquidity to continue, and they can't make payroll. They can't pay the rent. So you've got a tenant that basically you can't get the lease payments out of. In this case, it's a situation where, you know, Starbucks had 77 locations in the Simon REIT in their retail centers, and just said, you know, this concept really isn't working that well for us, and we're going to close these operations. It doesn't say anything about defaulting on the lease, but they're halting operation. Well, a retailer the size of, you know, Simon with 77 locations, the last thing they want is any tenant to go dark in this environment. It tends to have a ripple effect that makes the other tenants uneasy, and they went to court and said, look, your lease says you have to stay open, and they have the financial capacity to do that. And so they won. And in that other case you mentioned, Whole Foods, same thing. That was a single location, but an interesting trend.
Yeah, and it made me wonder how many of these lease agreements like this might be around, especially here in the Chicago area. I've seen a lot of Starbucks and Whole Foods stores starting to close or change or do something different. Is this a cookie cutter approach, or are these unique lease agreements?
That's not a unique lease agreement. That's pretty standard. And it's interesting, because usually it doesn't play out this way. If in both cases the tenants just closed the businesses and really didn't let the landlords know, what usually happens is a tenant lets the landlord know that they're having issues, that they will be closing, and usually it is a negotiated, sort of a consensual lease termination is what they call it. This is a very unique situation where they didn't do that.
Yeah. And two, you have two companies in Starbucks and Amazon that aren't hurting for money and funds. I'm wondering if in the Starbucks case, if they just are going to leave, you know, put a new Starbucks store there, or what's going to happen?
You know, they could, because the Teavana concept, they have not been thrilled with how it's performed. But that is another option, is probably a Starbucks.
If you had to look ahead to 2018, what would you say would be the trends in commercial real estate that we might see?
You know, that I wouldn't say the trend to me right now is sort of Amazon-like. It's the disruptors. It's keeping up with the digital future, if you will, and the impact on commercial real estate. And there's things that are changing, which frankly make my job very interesting. But at the same time, I'm trying to learn through my clients, the commercial real estate developers, what's coming, what are they seeing. because it's changing rapidly. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I feel like the last couple years it's moving in different directions, and it's moving rapidly. So the trick when you're doing construction loans, building, you know, financing new things, is trying to stay ahead of what's coming. I'll give you an example. Like for apartments, we're seeing more micro units, smaller units, keeping the price down. It's the affordability. There's no parking in these new buildings. They're all TODs. You know, most of the tenants, especially millennials, no cars. They're using alternative transportation. So it's trying to stay ahead of all those trends from a lending perspective is the biggest challenge. And for my clients, trying to stay ahead of it as well.
Still, though, we see in so many different areas with consumer confidence, small business confidence, corporate confidence. It seems like everybody's optimistic, at least going into the new year, about the opportunities.
There's definitely optimism. There continues to be concern about financial issues that are looming for the city and the state. I have more and more clients that tend to be looking outside of Illinois for opportunities. But generally speaking, people are still positive going into 2018.
Looking outside of Illinois to move or to expand?
To expand. So you have Chicago-based developers that traditionally have developed in Chicago and have become concerned, especially the looming real estate tax increases that could be coming. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my clients are starting to look at other markets.
And the suburban areas versus the metropolitan areas, are we going to see more action in the suburbs, do you think?
It's possible. I mean, you know, as it relates to real estate taxes, you start saying, okay, maybe you get on the right side of DuPage or Lake County from Cook County. I think that's where there's a lot of concern, and it's not just local. It's people coming into the market when they look to buy in Chicago. They ask if the property is in Cook County or not.
Interesting. Best to you for the new year. It's good talking with you as always.
As always, Steve. Thank you.